All right, thank you very much, Trent, there from the tab. Tom Bell Chambers, retiring Bombers ruckman, not too far away, but the Legend Series continues today. What about this? 241 games for the magnificent Shinboners between 1994 and 2004. Victorian representative between 97 and 99. An All-Australian team member, international rules team member, two-time premiership player, two-time All-Australian full stop, and the only player in the history of the game, Adam White, you may not know this, to play in seven consecutive preliminary finals in their first 7 years of football. These days, dominating proceedings on AFL 360 and Fox Footy coverage. David King, welcome to the Breakfast Club.
Hey, morning, Half. Morning, Whitey. I didn't realise Joey Vignataro was your main man behind the scenes.
Yeah, we're not happy about it, but we can't get rid of him.
There's a lot happening in his family. I mean, his father might be out soon. I read the Informer 3838 thing's going well for him, so let's see how that unfolds.
Yeah, Pops Vignataro. Yeah. Just be careful. You're bad mouthing than Pops. He's a fruiterer at the market.
Yeah, well, it's a great disguise. There's no doubt about that.
Speaking of disguises, these days you disguise yourself as a wonderful broadcaster on Fox Footy. Of course, AFL 360 is celebrating 1,000 episodes tonight, which is quite a remarkable feat because nobody ever thought Robbo would make the first show.
I tell you what, many moons ago, Harp, I think it was 2010, 10 years ago, Rod Law put these two together, and I'm not sure how it worked, but it did, and they just suit each other, don't they? One does no preparation, shoots from the hip, nails most comments, creates a bit of anger, creates a bit of discussion. The other one, he just continually straightens up. He's just continually putting him back in between the white lines of lane one. And it's just been fantastic. A marriage made in heaven, really.
Well, yeah, I would love to have been in that meeting the first time around when they worked out, who are we going to put on this panel? We'll get Jared. Who are we going to put on? Robbo came to mind. It would have been a fascinating conversation, I reckon, back in the Fox offices.
Yeah, and I think that they were back in the days when we were at City Road there, and it was a tiny little studio, and, you know, we didn't really know what was going on and how big it was going to be. But I think these two, they come into your house every night, don't they? I mean, this is how Tim Hodges, who's the man behind the scenes, describes them. As they're part of your family because you turn the TV on every night, whether you've had a good day, bad day, and you just sit back and just relax. It's part of your natural process of an evening. So it's been huge, mate. It's been fantastic. And so much has happened. So many big stories. You know, always, every year, I think a coach sacking is the biggest story, and these two love to dissect that. But, you know, even the Neil Danaher annual visit, you know, seeing that MND Foundation grow the way it has been huge. The special one-offs when Buddy Franklin left to go to Sydney. So they've just been up, you know, up with the stories, finger on the pulse every time. And as you said, they've become part of my house.
And unfortunately, Mark McClure has become part of your house too, King. Are you happy about that?
Well, I was doing some research, which won't surprise you. Just we're going to throw up a few things tonight. In the last 10 years, there's been 30 coaches sacked. So we've had a total of 48 coaches through the last 10 years. 30 of them have been sacked. I reckon Sellers has tried to sack every one of them, some of them 6 months in advance of when they actually got sacked, but he's got his fingerprints over sacking every one of them.
I just want to say two things on AFL 360, and you mentioned him before, but the work of Tim Hodges on that program has been short of extraordinary. I mean, it has been his life for the last 10 years, and he's done an amazing job in getting everyone involved in that program, Kingy. But I just wanted to know, will you be on Skype tonight for the 1,000th episode?
I can let you on this little Skype thing. Jared Waitley's idea it was. Way back in the day. So 2010, you can imagine 2010. Skype wasn't a big deal back then. So they thought, for your segment, we'll get Sellers to Skype in and we'll get you to Skype. You can be anywhere. You can be at home. You can do whatever you like. So after about 2 weeks, I'm hearing every third word. I'm not even knowing what the question is. I'm just making up answers as we go. And then you're watching the show back thinking, geez, I didn't even answer that question. I made that. I don't know what I was doing. Anyway, Rod Law said, look, take it wherever you go. Take it anywhere. And I said, Rod, this is not working. It's not working. I can't hear. And I went to the Ringwood Junior Football Club for a pie night out there, and there would have been 300 kids And I said to the kids, go your hardest in the background. I want, here's your chance to get on TV. I couldn't hear a thing. I completely torched the interview. The next week, we're in the studio. It was fantastic.
Smart play. Smart play by you. You knew exactly like what you were doing.
He had some sort of green tree growing out the back of his head for about 12 months. He wasn't good with the camera positioning and the background scenario, but... Nah, it was a strange start. It's amazing how things have turned. We're all doing FaceTime now, and it's become part of life again.
Yeah, you're actually trendsetting 10 years ago. 1,000th episode tonight. Amazing stuff. A 90-minute special at 7:30 on Fox 40, Channel 504 on your Foxtel. Kingy, I'm sure your career will get a mention on that tonight because you're a fantastic player with the Kangaroos. And we talked about, through the last 10 years, I reckon, as well, about mature-age players coming in from outside of the natural pathway. You were one of those. You were playing at Port Melbourne before you found yourself into the AFL. Did you think that you'd ever get to the AFL?
No way. Back in those days, the VFA, it was incredibly strong. And I reckon, to be honest, I played in a team that we lost one game for the year in 1993, and I think that was the grand final. I know that was the grand final. It might have been one other game that we lost through the course of the season. And I would have played with, I would say, conservatively 10 guys that were more accomplished players than I, at different age brackets, different phases of their life, maybe not as committed to playing football as I was, but they were wonderful players. The VFA was loaded with guys that could have played AFL. But you need a lot of luck, Huff. I mean, you need to be one drafted, go to the right club, have a position available. All the stars need to align to give you a fair run at it. And I think that most players, at the next levels down, I've consistently said this. The guys playing EDFL, Northern Footy League, whatever league you want to talk about, Eastern Footy League, there'd probably be a dozen to 20 players that could walk in and be somewhere between 15 to 22 on an AFL list regularly. I honestly believe that, but they just don't get the opportunity. They just don't get the conditioning and the pathway provided to them like I did back in the day. So I still think that's a real discussion. They're out there everywhere. But they just need a chance.
King, you were talking, Half and I were talking about this yesterday, about you playing in that famous or infamous VFA Grand Final for Port Melbourne when there was the all-in brawl, which involved a lot of the crowd. It was quite a violent, scary-type situation watching it unfold live on television, and you played a role in that.
Well, I didn't play much of a role. I basically got beat up for the day. As I said, we'd lost one game for the year. Damien Drum was coach. This was the year before he went to Sydney to run the footy club underneath Ron Barassi. We had a really tough team. Really tough team. And we were getting smashed by Donald McDonald's Werribee by 10 goals. The sirens to finish the game was about to go. They kicked the goal. I think the crowd thought the siren had gone, and they charged onto the ground. It had been a violent game. And I just remember standing back, and there was a guy, I'm not even sure whether I should say his name, but his name was Dean Crimes. I stood 3 metres from him, and his nickname was Nuts, and I'm not sure that was because of Nuts and Bolts. I think he was actually Nuts. He would have knocked out 6 people in 4 minutes, I reckon, and I just stood there watching this brawl going on. It was frightening, intimidating, scary for a young player, but what a spectacle it was.
Yeah, I mean, was it legitimately scary to see? Because it just got completely out of control.
Yeah, it was scary, and we actually got sent to our rooms. We got sent to the club rooms, and then were made to come back out and finish the game. So if we hadn't stayed in there, the report was that they would have had to replay the grand final because the game wasn't concluded. So if we had have known that, we probably would have stayed in the rooms and got a rematch the next week. But in saying that, look, a lot of people listen to this show won't remember, but the start of the game, our fullback got knocked out, being hit by the opposition's full forward. And it was just a free-for-all. It just descended into a very violent occasion. And, Phil Cleary was going crazy in commentary, I can assure you.
I'm sure he would have been. I'm sure he would have. Goodness gracious. You don't need that in the grand final. You don't need that. So you fanned your way to the AFL and you walked into one of the great teams of all time, the Kangaroos of 94 and beyond. Talk us through the difference in footy from the VFA to the AFL, King Early Doors.
Oh, like you say, you need a lot of luck. You walk in the Kangaroos, they had a huge 1993. They probably were flag favourites with a week or two to go in the home and away season. John Longmire kicked, I think, 98 goals for the home and away, did his knee, or got injured, did a hamstring or something. Two or three other players got injured in their finals campaign run aground. They were always going to win a flag half, we all thought, over that next 4 to 5 years. And I walked into a team. Back in those days, I don't think we had a bye. I mean, all I remember is we had byes at the start of the season. We had a bye in round one, and we had about 8 injuries at the Kangaroos for round one. And Dennis came up and said, "Listen, son, I don't know how long you're going to be here, you know, 5 minutes, 5 months, 5 years, but you'll make your debut in round two and we'll see how we go from there." That was Dennis's way of saying, "Good luck, hope you go really well. If we can have some success." But from then on, you just jumped on the back of the coattails of Carey and Archer and Swass and these guys, and it was great fun.
I'm sure it was.
What was he like, Dennis, for you? Because he kept it fairly uncomplicated, but fairly honest. What was he like, particularly to you? Not so much to Carey and Swash and all those Schwass and all those sorts of guys. What was he like for you?
Oh, he's pretty hard on a few of us, which was the tough love sometimes is good because at least you know where you stand. You know, you have a great understanding of where you're at. If you're playing well, you had a great way of pulling you back in the line. I remember a few of us made the State of Origin teams a couple of times there in the mid to late sort of 90s, and Dennis would come out the next day and he'd say, where's Craig Scholl or where's David King or where's, whoever made it, he'd stand the other side of the group when we were stretching and say, "Have a look, there he is, size 12 head, size 8 hat, all that sort of stuff." He just had a way of pulling you back in the line when you were going well, and when you were struggling, he'd do the reverse. He'd sort of say, "Look, this guy runs past you, give him the ball. When he's got the ball in his hand, we're a good team." And he just had a way of having you somewhere between 4 and 6 on the 0 to 10 scale. And as soon as you went past 6, he pulled you down. And as soon as you went below 4, he found a way to bump you up.
Yeah, that's a cool way of looking at it. Yeah.
Well, it worked out pretty well. And the flags, Kingy, was there one more enjoyable to play in than the other?
You don't really remember them, to be honest, Daniel. I don't remember individual games. I don't.
Really?
All I remember is footy trips and Mad Mondays. Outside of that, my memory's shot. It's just, like I said, you need a lot of luck. And that's the challenge for teams at the moment, isn't it? I mean, if you look at this season, guys, I mean, what a disaster it's been in many ways. But someone's going to find a way to navigate through a really tough season and hold that cup aloft. And they'll have the biggest story and the best tale that the AFL would have ever produced.
Who's going to be in the box seat for that, do you reckon?
Well, everyone's sort of telling me that, it's out of Richmond and Geelong. And I'm just not so sure about that. I still have faith in what Brisbane are doing. I know Harris Andrews is a setback, but I don't think he'll be out to a prelim final. I think you'll see him before then. And I think Port Adelaide, I mean, they've done nothing wrong. And I'm not sure why they've been discounted. They've got a great method. Their ability to lock the ball in the scoring end of the ground is hard to defeat. And they've got a coach. I think if you're choosing to play football under any coach at the moment and be able to express yourself and play with some freedom, then you're choosing to play under Ken Hinckley. And I think that augurs well for the end of the season.
Well, it is going to be a fascinating end to the 2020 season. You've had a fascinating journey through your time in footy, Kingy. Long may it continue, just by the way, although the way you talk about Pops Pignataro, you might be finding yourself in some trouble earlier, sooner rather than later.
Hey, happy birthday, Waddy.
Thank you, Kingy. We'll get out on the golf course again soon, 2028 or something like that.
I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't think you'd get this far.
David, I'm looking forward to seeing you a part of the coverage tonight, the 1,000th episode of AFL 360, 90-minute special, 7:30 tonight on Fox Footy Channel 504. Check your local guides. Have a great morning. Thanks, pal.
On your lads.